Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read from chapter 27. Our reading begins at verse 11, chapter 27 of Matthew. That's on page 1041 in the Pew Bibles. Let's listen to this, the Word of God. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Jesus asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who was called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That Pilate, Pontius Pilate, he was quite a man. I don't know about you, but for a long time I was confused about his name. I thought that the first part of his name was actually an adjective, like curious. You know, Curious Bob, Pontius Pilate. But I learned that actually Pontius was his family name. He was from the family of Pontii, and that Pilate was actually his given name. I find it interesting that when we read the Apostles' Creed together and we recite it as the briefest summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it's Pilate's name who is included in the Apostles' Creed, not the Apostle Peter's name, not King David's name, not Father Abraham's name, not Adam or Eve, just Pilate and the Trinity. I was also curious about how Pilate acted on this fateful day when Jesus was brought into his presence. We know more about Pilate than just as what is written in the Gospels. Other ancient writers wrote about him or referred to him, sometimes in passing references, but there were two Jewish historians who lived at that time, who were contemporaries of Jesus and of Pilate. Their names were Josephus and Philo, Jewish historians. And they described Pilate as insensitive, vindictive, and hot-tempered. But a man who was not nice at all. Josephus tells the story about how the Jews one time were upset with Pilate because he had brought Roman symbols into the temple area. And so they gathered in front of him to protest what he had done. Pilate had soldiers dressed in civilian clothes mixed in among the crowd. And then Pilate gave a signal and the soldiers started stabbing people around them. Until finally the crowd said, "Okay, forget it. We'll and they ran away and dispersed and the issue was over." Like that was the kind of man that Pilate was. Now, it's also written that after he did this and some other pretty horrible things to the Jewish people, that complaints were lodged with the officials in Rome, and an official rebuke came from the emperor to Pilate for his brutal and insensitive behavior towards the Jewish people. Interesting. In the story that we read together this morning, we read a couple of very important encounters with some really significant distinctions. When Jesus and Pilate stood facing each other, what was going on was a classic power encounter. Jesus, representing divine power, heavenly power, power given to him by the Father as he was sent in the world with a mission. And Pilate, representing political power, earthly power, power given to him by the emperor Tiberius. Now, Pilate understands that this is a power encounter, but he thinks it's a different kind of encounter. He thinks it's all political. Pilate is one of those people who thinks everything is political. And so he asked Jesus, "So, Jesus, are you the king of the Jews?" And he asked that because that's the only thing that makes sense to him. I mean, there is a king of the Jews named Herod. Herod who has, you know, some kind of limited power given to him by the emperor. It's a symbolic kind of honorary title. And he expects an answer to that question that he asks. Now, our translation of the NIV here says Jesus replies saying, "Yes, it is as you say," or something like that. But the text, the Greek actually, is very non-committal. It's more like, "Those are your words," or that's what you've just said, or something like that. It's not actually a clear yes here in the text. And it seems that Jesus is saying to Pilate, "Yes, but," a qualified answer. He's saying, I am the king of the Jews, but not in the way that you understand it. You understand to be king, to have power, to have authority, to have responsibility and reign over people, to be about taxes and laws and earthly rules, where Jesus is a different kind of king. He's a king that is not constrained by geography, not constrained by time or scope. He is the high king. He is the king of kings. He's the king of the emperor in Rome. He is the king of King Herod. He is the king of all. And his kingdom is not limited to this world. Pilate is at a loss about what to do because Jesus doesn't act in any way like what he expects. Jesus isn't angry at his betrayers. He's not denouncing them. Here he is. He's in front of the governor, the man who has the authority, the power to let him go, to crucify him, to do anything that he wants with him. And I'm sure Pilate is expecting Jesus to say, "Excuse me, but those accusers of mine, there is not a truthful word in their mouths. They are driven by an agenda that is self-serving, and I have done nothing to break the law. I have done nothing but preach peace. So you want somebody to go after? Go after them." Pilate's expecting that. Jesus doesn't say anything. Or maybe Pilate thought, what this guy is going to do is he's going to grovel. He's going to get down on his knees and say, "Oh, Pilate, oh, I know that you can do anything you want. I know that you can nail me to a cross. You can have me whipped and scourged and all that stuff. Please, Pilate, let me go. I haven't done anything." Weeping and wailing and begging. Wouldn't you expect that if you are faced with the possibility of all the things this man can do to you? But he's quiet. Doesn't say anything. He stands erect. He stands dignified, but he stands mute in front of all that. So Pilate is in a bit of a conundrum here. It's said that he had the habit of throwing a bone to the people once a year, letting one condemned person go free. Kind of a presidential pardon. And Pilate offers the crowd a choice. "I will release either to you Jesus called the Christ or Jesus Barabbas." Some of the other Gospels identify him that his first name was Jesus. It was Jesus Barabbas. And it's interesting that one of the very early church fathers wrote about this and said, I will strike out the name of Jesus Barabbas. I will strike out the name Jesus in front of Barabbas because it is such a holy name that only our Lord may carry it. When in fact, Jesus is the Hebrew, the Greek form of Joshua, which was a very common name in that time. A lot of people were named Jesus, which goes to show that actually that it was an authentic name. So Pilate is giving the people the choice, either Jesus called the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus Barabbas. Now Jesus Barabbas, his name has a meaning. His name means Jesus, Son of the Father. Barabbas. It's like, Jesus said, when you pray, call out Abba, Father. Well, Barabbas is Son of the Father. Most people agree that is the proper translation or interpretation of that name. Who do you choose? Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Son of God the Father? Or Barabbas, Jesus, the Son of the Father? Barabbas was notorious. Some understand him to have been a violent and notorious bandit who terrorized the people. Some others have said Barabbas was an insurrectionist, that his actions to throw off the shackles of Rome resulted in Rome coming down with its iron boots on the necks of the people, causing pain and death among the people. What's clear is that Pilate expects the people to choose Jesus the Christ. to let Jesus the Christ go free and to condemn the violent criminal Jesus Barabbas. That would have solved his problem. He really wanted to get rid of Barabbas. He didn't want to get rid of Jesus. He said, why would the crowd choose someone that's only going to cause them more pain when Jesus is simply a preacher of peace and a healer of the ill? Didn't work, though, because the crowd was swayed by its religious leadership. Those who recognized Jesus the Christ as a much more dangerous person than Barabbas. They saw in Jesus one whose word and teaching and example would lead to the upending of their system and the removal of their privilege. And so, we're back to the issue of Jesus, the Christ. Pilate asked the question on hearing them choose Barabbas, say, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, the Messiah? What do I do with Jesus? Pilate has asked a question straight to the crowd. And well, here's an idea, Pilate. Why don't you get down on your knees in front of him and worship him? Why don't you look up to Jesus and say, I'm going to give you my allegiance? Pilate, why don't you substitute your hopes and dreams and ambitions for his vision of the kingdom of God? Wouldn't it have been interesting? Wouldn't it have been wonderful if he had said that? But of course he doesn't, because he's sick and tired of dealing with this stuff. He's sick and tired of this crowd. He's sick and tired of the Jews and their traditions. He doesn't do that because he's not understanding who it is that's standing before him. He doesn't do that because he's afraid of the consequences of another controversy. So Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the governor of the whole region, gives in. He capitulates. He caves. And thus Pilate loses his opportunity to really know Jesus the Christ, and knowing him, the opportunity to love him, to serve him. Pilate passes him by. But remember, the question, what do I do with Jesus, was asked by Pilate to the crowd. And this crowd too had choices. They asked for the release of Barabbas, but they could have said of Jesus Christ, what do I do with Jesus called the Christ? They said, well, just let him go. You know, but show double mercy, Pilate. Hey, you let one guy go, that's great. Why don't you let both of them go? Could have asked for that. Don't know what Pilate would have said. They could have said, Pilate, why don't you teach him a lesson that he'll never forget? Let your soldiers whip him for a while, or kick him around for a while, or humiliate him for a while, and then let him go. Could have done that. They could have said, crucify him. And they had their answer ready. They said, crucify. Crucify him. Why? What has he done? Crucify him. It doesn't matter. And so it came to be that's what happened. The question, what shall I do with Jesus, is a question that has been asked again and again and again. The question, what shall I do with Jesus, is a question that is asked of me. It's a question that is asked of you. It's a question that is asked of us. And to answer that question, we have to make a choice. Are we lining up with Jesus called the Christ, or are we lining up with Jesus called Barabbas? Are you about personal power? Are you about personal popularity? Are you about the quick and dirty payoff? If you are, then there's an easy choice to make. Are you about the glory of God? Are you about God's plan? Are you about God's vision for the world and for your own life? Are you about eternity? It's my observation that very often that we say we're the one and we act like we're the other. We confess Jesus as Lord. We recite together the words of the Apostles' Creed with the word of Pontius Pilate on our lips. And then we pursue power and privilege and wealth. We say amen in the sanctuary of worship and then act like it's all about me when we get outside of them. What do we do with Jesus? Is a question that has to be answered here as we're at worship. And it's a question that has to be answered when we're at work. It's a question that has to be answered when we're at school. It's a question that we have to answer when we're all alone in our still small place. It's important that we answer it because the words of the crowd are profoundly true. Pilate tried to absolve himself of responsibility, but the crowd said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Some very wrongly have made this the basis of a terrible anti-Semitism. And the Jews, they killed Christ. See, they even owned it here. But this crowd was speaking for all humanity. That crowd was speaking for all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all who experience brokenness like me and like you that are saying these words, "His blood be on us and our children." It is our sin, our alienation from God, our rejection of God's perfection that killed Christ. And His blood is on us and our children. Thank God His blood is on us and our children. Praise the Lord that His blood is on us and our children. Thank God they said this because it's true, not the way they meant it, but the way it came to be. Because if Christ's blood was not on us, if we stand outside of the blood of Christ, if we think that we can go without Jesus, without participating in His sacrifice, without being washed by the blood of the Lamb, then we are to be most pitied and we are certainly condemned by our sin. If our homes do not have the blood of Christ painted on the doorposts, and if our heads have not been anointed by the blood of the Savior, then we are dust. His blood is on us. What would you have said if you were in that crowd? you were standing there in the courtyard of Pontius Pilate, and you heard Pilate ask the question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And that was asked of you that day, knowing what you know now, knowing that Jesus came so that he could be that perfect sacrifice, knowing that it was the will of his Father that he endure this, knowing that through this Jesus would pay the price for all his lost children and bring them home and give them eternal security, knowing that by his wounds we would be healed. What would you say to Pilate when he asked, "What should I do with Jesus?" I think that I would say, "Crucify him. Crucify the Lord." Not because I hate him, not because I want to see him suffer, but because it is the will of God. Because it's what he came to do. He came to be my Savior through his sacrifice. With tears in our eyes, we would say, "Crucify him." And with tears in our eyes and those terrible words on our lips, we would fall to our knees and worship him. Because he is the Savior. Pilate thought that he could avoid the whole topic of Jesus. He could avoid the issue that Jesus presented. He could avoid the man that Jesus was by saying, "Forget it, people. I wash my hands of the blood of this man. It's not my responsibility. I have no participation in it." Well, he can say that all he wants, but the fact is that that water didn't change a thing. Because he was a sinful man that needed the healing that would come through the blood that he was about to shed. And the only hope that he had was that that blood cover him in a redemptive way. If you rob a bank, and you say, "Well, I wash my hands of all responsibility." Well, that doesn't mean you didn't rob the bank. It doesn't mean you're not going to go to jail. You are. And Pilate, a sinful man carrying his sin with him, could not just wash it away with water. It was only the blood of Christ that would bring him hope. So, how do you answer the question, "What do I do with Jesus?" Are you ready to take your place as a professing Christian servant of Christ? Are you ready to line up with Jesus the Christ and follow him wherever he leads, pay the price, whatever it may be, and so experience the kingdom of God? What will you do with Jesus? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for his commitment to following your path. That path that led to a cross. That path that led to our healing. Lord God, we glorify the name of Jesus Christ. We serve him. We honor him. We pattern ourselves after him. All to your glory. Help us, we pray, to be the kind of people whom people know have made an answer, and that we love you. help us to be the people you want, to the glory of your Son. Amen.